Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our show, the Little Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen and Neil. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Here we are a little late, but yes, we are here. 10:30 start time today. So hopefully those of you who were on in the queue earlier will be able to rejoin us for our episode. Today we're talking about psychic fear in the United States and the world events that will be unfolding as time progresses and their impact on the U.S. So we're going to get into a little bit about the Paris attacks, the month of November, and psychic predictions, et cetera, et cetera. But first, want to let everybody know how to get in contact with us. You may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. And to do so, you can just click on the follow button under our profile name, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. We also have our Facebook and Twitter accounts linked on that profile page, and to reach Neil directly, 562-596-7818, our call-in number for today, and always 914-338-0164. And Neil, we talked a little bit on Monday about the recent events in Paris, and I think on Monday when we ended the show, I said something about false flag attacks. So we want to clarify that the attack, the false flag attacks, the definition of false flag attacks has to do with not necessarily that no deaths occurred or injuries, but perhaps the official story is not exactly how the event transpired. So that's what I meant by false flag attack. Okay. And of course, our sentiments, our hearts go out to anyone that may have been injured or killed in the attacks, of course. But really, the attacks in Paris are kind of leading us into a bigger problem here in the United States and in the world, because as we've seen in recent days since the attacks, things have been revealed in the media. Now I think there are going to be mass surveillance that's been approved very quietly after this. So we're getting into these apocalyptic times, if you believe in that theory regarding the future of the planet. Neil?
Well, I do believe in that theory. I've believed in that theory for a long time, not just what's going on currently, but this was preceded by visions that I had as a young man, even a child, which I've talked about numerous times in my reports and discussions.
Right, and we did post in Neil wrote a book called The Cultist Labor, and I did post on our Facebook page an excerpt from the book. And the excerpt starts with the shadows of Manhattan skyscrapers. So already in the book, you are alluding to something occurring in the shadows of Manhattan skyscrapers. And in that excerpt, you talk about Paris, France. You talk about a nightclub. You talk about the month of November. And obviously, it's literary fiction.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, obvious. You're not saying there will be an attack in Paris on November 13th, 2015. But there are many allusions, and you're linking it to that attack that occurred on 9/11.
Yeah, unlike Nostradamus, who had his books of predictions in the contrary, in his in his outline of his books, I decided to promote my ideas and my predictions heavily cloaked in fiction. It was just my choice. So Cultus Liber is definitely a book of fiction and a book of satire, because I'm a writer and a novelist. So I decided to put my predictions they're sort of cloaked in that book. So I didn't come out specifically with predictions. It's not a book of predictions. It's a book. It's a fiction, and highly satirical. But there are predictions and definite exposition about the future in that book.
But, right, it's an apocalyptic satire.
Yeah, it's apocalyptic satire. But
and I, you know, Neil,
you never
sorry.
Read it as a book of predictions.
I want to interject something. We have some callers in the queue, and I want to let them know if they're first-time callers. We get to your calls in about 10 minutes. So just hang out, and we start taking calls at that point in the show, but we do talk for a little bit. So don't worry. We're going to be giving you readings today. Okay, Neil.
But, you know, that book was also induced by psychic dreams and visions that I had when I was writing the book. And that's the whole purpose, I think, of our brief discussion here, is how do we come to the place where those of us who are psychic or who have visions, whether they be in dreams or whether they be in a conscious state, and those visions and dreams are connected to world events, which in my experience, I believe I've had visions of world events coming up that have not even transpired yet, many of which have, but the majority of them have not quite transpired.
Yeah, in fact, Sandy Hook is in the book. I mean, just to mention another event separate from this, you know, and again, cloaked in fiction, as you said, but,
yeah.
And, you know, the publication date, I believe, was prior to Sandy Hook. I know
yeah.
that you wrote the book prior.
Yeah.
So there's a lot in there that has transpired.
There is
already.
And there is yet fire in there, even though it is, I like I said, it is symbolic and cloaked, but it's there. But Nostradamus's quadrants were cloaked in symbolism, heavily symbolism.
Symbolic. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not too far from that realm of thought. But when we get into the idea of the psychic visions and what's going on today, you know, in my world, I've always trusted in dreams. I think they're kind of the hidden gate to eternity. And for myself, because we have this notion that the most of us who dream, Freud kind of calls it a tagesschrift, which is a kind of a day residue of our jobs, relationships, and other things that influence our lives, cause us to worry, and it kind of filters out in our dream world because our brains are still very active. So most of us have dreams regarding our day's events, and it's kind of scrambled up into all kinds of mixed up stories and things. But there is that place where our dreams touch worlds that are beyond our immediate psychological conference that we have within ourselves. And those dreams really belong to the world of our ancestors and to the world of gods and deities, and demons and angels. These dreams sort of transcend the now world of the ordinary experience, and we get into a realm where we start to talk to guides and spirits. And we're led into a whole labyrinth of events, if you will, that pertain to the future. Now, in my regard, I saw things going on. I mean, I saw the events going on at 9/11 and the towers falling and even the events going on in Paris now. And I see future events going on in terms of what's going to be hitting our country, which is mainly of concern to me and I'm sure others. Because it's going to hit home, and there's nothing going to stop it. I don't believe it's going to. We can do everything we can to avoid or to confront the powers that are here to dramatize and dehumanize our race, but aside from that, I don't think we're going to be able to stop it. So there's going to be deep, heavy surveillance in not only government buildings, but I believe you'll have to have access to go to shopping malls. There's going to be, you have to be carded.
Searches of a person and things like that. It's going to start becoming much more difficult to move about in the world as we've been so accustomed to.
And we're not far away from it, from putting a fingerprint. We don't need cards anymore. It will be chips will be embedded in our bodies.
The chip's not going to be embedded in my body, over my dead body.
You see, the things can be remotely controlled, and they can put chips in your body whether you like it or not,
right?
Because you don't need to go to a site or a center or have it done medically. These things can now occur remotely. And it's not long from now when this is going to be happening. I think within our lifetime. So when we have that idea, I mean, some people think that this idea of 666, this is the mark of Nero and
right.
Nero and it's already and, passed. No. In the book of Revelation, John was not talking about that particular era. And that was written after Christ's time. This was written, this was pertaining to the future event when we are now, even in the form of drones that are were in that book. And this was not something that was in Christ's time. And these were not extraterrestrial visitors that were visiting the planet that they had access to. This was about future events. And I think John was very much a visionary. He was a psychic. He was the first somewhat Nostradamus. And so I think we're getting to a point where we are going to be under, this country is going to be under severe attack. We're going to be unfortunately, we're going to be living in a world of panic. We're going to be living in a world of concern. We're even walking out. You know, it's happening on the other side of the globe. And pretty soon it's going to hit here.
Right. And even, of course, in 9/11, it did hit here. And I think what happened in Oklahoma City, I mean, there have been isolated events, but we're talking about a culture that's going to
I'm not talking about isolated events. I'm talking about
a part of our daily life.
The world of ordinary life, which is going to become not ordinary. The ordinary part of our life is going to be one where we are going to be basically concerned about walking out the front door, literally.
So, you know, as citizens of the United States and of this world, Neil, what can we do? I mean, we have to start, I think, getting in touch with getting rid of our karma. I mean, you know, the planet Earth is not going to become a planet of transcendence. Unfortunately, the idea that we're going to be able to transform the planet into, you know, a place of non-duality is not any reality that's going to be in the near future at all. I mean, it's just not. So I think it's really important, you know, on an individual level, and if we can also get beyond ourselves and promote the ideals and impact others in the world, I think those are all very important principles. I mean, striving for peace, love, you know, and doing good works, all those things are very important, but the reality is, you know, the transformation of the planet is not going to happen, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, some things in the future I think are set in stone, but many, many of our events are not. They deal with probability. And just because we see something ahead of us, at least myself personally, just because I see something ahead of us, this doesn't give me an excuse to abdicate my responsibility to try to change energy.
Sure.
I'm a great believer
exactly.
in changing energy. So we are somewhat, I mean, we're this is our planet. This is our Earth. And we are responsible for the future of our planet. We have to make certain choices that promote responsibility. So just because I see these things and I kind of bemoan the sight of what I'm seeing, and I take great I have great concern for what I see, and I'm not in charge of the destiny of the planet. I'm not saying anything like that, but what I'm saying is that the things I'm seeing and how they've transpired on a personal level is still very concerning to me. And it isn't, I'm not the first that has seen these things, and neither am I an instigator of negative energy. I'm really more of a
positive energy type of person,
and that's how I feel and think.
Right.
So it's not a matter of just seeing these things and thinking, well, okay, that's what's
going to
happen.
Yeah, give up and don't do anything. That's not what we're trying to say here. But
no, not at all. But, you know, the gate, when we're talking about psychic vision, and I'm sure I'm the only one, I'm positive I'm not the only one who has seen or felt things. And those of us who only gather the facts according to the media or news reports, and then we get concerned or we see something firsthand and we get concerned, I'm talking about those of us who have real, distinct, authentic vision into the future, and we see there's a lots of us who see this, and we see these events unfolding before our visionary eye, our third eye, and what can we do about it? Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's really been too many successful psychics that have averted a disaster. There are some biblical accounts of averting energies and things like that, but not too many of us psychics, so to speak, are successful at averting a disaster. As much as we try, it's very hard to get to that space. But I think what's going to happen is that the technical world, the computerized world, the world of
we're going to become much more digitized.
Scientific advancement is going to do what the psychics can't do. They're going to foresee
really?
The future. I think they're going to be able to avoid certain events. They're going to be able to read certain events.
Hmm.
I mean, they're talking now about on a casual level, a driverless taxis that will be able to call on a taxi. There won't be a driver, and it will take us. The taxi can see ahead. I mean, just when we talk about taxi cabs,
I think there was just an accident with a driverless car this week.
Did you read that?
Yeah.
They haven't perfected it, and I think in more severe weather there's more problematic things that can happen. But here we're looking at that. But pretty soon human being is becoming quite passive.
Artificial intelligence is going to become predominant in our society, which is scary. I mean, because the need for humans becomes less.
Well, it is. But you know, as we get into this realm of our fellow human beings destroying fellow human beings and taking vast numbers of people in this mass destruction, what we're really doing is we're devaluing the attitude of what a human being is. And we're going to have to rely more and more on artificial intelligence in order to save ourselves from destroying ourselves.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a nightmare world. I wish we had more time to talk about
well,
it.
Well, we can always talk
as
more.
As we get into
we
the more...
We might be able to talk more today, but...
Okay, as we get more into the ties of how that connects to the third eye, I think, to me, the third eye, the visionary eye, the eye of our soul, can be a saving grace to how we might survive on this planet, given what's coming ahead for us.
Okay, perhaps we'll have a little bit more time, Neil, to talk today, but let me bring on this caller, 850... Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
Oh, this is Cindy.
Hi. Cindy, hi. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Cindy, what's your birth date, please?
4/28.
I'm sorry, that you cut out for a moment.
4/28.
And the year?
66.
66. And your location?
North Florida.
Okay. Okay, go ahead with your question.
Can you tell me what you see for the future of the relationship that I'm currently in? If you see that as my life partner, if, you know, the things we've been working on will work out, and...
Okay.
For what you see there.
All right. Okay, do we have a birth date for that individual?
7/11. Yes, 7/11/56.
56, all right, 9/19. 30 equals 3 and a 35/8. They're an 11 together, ooh. And that's his day.
They're a 12 together.
Oh, did I add that up wrong?
Yeah.
Wait,
there are 12. She's a 9.
She's a 9? 8,
yeah.
9, 10. I had it wrong. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
And she's 49 years old.
24, 35, 8. 428, 56?
428, 66, I think she's.
Did you say 66?
Yes. Yeah.
66. And he's 66?
No, he's 56.
And
56.
No,
you're 66.
My year was 66. His year is 56.
Okay,
yeah.
That's where the error was. I didn't make an addition
error.
So they're 9. There's a 10-year difference. Okay, so they're a 12, 3 together. His master number.
Well, you know, Cindy, the... Your master numbers are six digits apart. You're a 36.9. He's a 33. You had a change 66, 76, 86, 96, 96 when you were 96, 2002. Is that right? 2002, you had a change in life. Do you recall that change in your life around 2002 when you were 36 years old?
There was a lot of changes in that time frame. I'm trying to remember the specific year, but yeah, there was probably a lot of changes there.
Yeah, there were probably a lot of changes there. Well, you had a change there. I don't know why, but I'm getting a... Did you grow up in a rural area? Was there...
Yes.
You did. And were there, at least within a 50-mile radius, were there farms or farmland?
Yes.
Or anything? There were. Okay, so that's what I'm getting about you, Cindy. I think that this potential suitor you're in a relationship with now, there is a definite connection between the two of you. That's first of all. There is a definite connection. What I mean to say by that is that there's a past life connection between the two of you. So I think that, well, I don't know how long you've known this individual, but in my psychic attitude, I'm going back 3 years. Whether you knew him then or not, I'm still going back 3 years when there seemed to have been a change, and that would have been when you were about 46 years old. For instance, did you know him when you were 46?
No, I met him a year and a half ago, but I moved to this area 3 years ago is when I made the change up here.
Yeah. So your move 3 years ago to the area actually instigated the or created the environment through which you would meet him, and then a year and a half later you met him.
Right.
And that 3 year period, you see, Cindy, is significantly his master number. So even though your master number is 9 and his master number is 3, it's been 3 years ago that you moved where you're at. I have a feeling that there's a good chance, how could I say this to you? On a percentage level, you have better than a 50-50% chance that this could be somebody that you could even marry. And to me, I mean, it's more like 60% chance. Why do I see children around him? Has he been divorced, or what's going on with this?
He has no children. His previous wife passed away 6 years ago, and he has no children. I have one child, but he's grown.
Oh, you have one child?
Yes, but he's an adult.
He's an adult. But okay, well then. What I'm seeing, Cindy, is that child that you have, believe it or not, has some connection to this guy. And so when I see children around him, and he has no children, but you do have a child, even though your child is grown up, I have a feeling to me that's linked to a little bit more to the side that this guy may end up being very, you know, connected to you, marriage. Has he discussed marriage at all?
Oh, yes. He's asked me already, but I haven't committed to setting a date or a time frame because I found out about some really bad habits he had, places he was frequenting, and some, you know, habits.
Okay.
Habit,
yeah.
And he's
trying
to stop, I believe, and I don't know if it's totally stopped, but I won't commit until it has.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. you know, I was picking up marriage with him, and he, and then after that, you told me he asked you. So my concept of marriage occurred before you actually gave me the information. Now, he's born on the 11th of the month. Yeah. Whenever there's an 11, there can be sexual addiction. There can be a dark sexual energy. So if he's got any kind of sexual addiction or sexual controversy around him, that's equatable to his 11. Now, I'm talking about the symbolism of the number, but oftentimes that symbolism does adhere itself to certain attitudes and behaviors. Now, he has a 7 in his month, but lo and behold, he's born in 56, which in numerology is another 11. So he's got a strong energy. I do believe that he needs, well, you know, I have a feeling he's gone to therapy over this. Has he confessed to going to therapy?
No, he has not confessed to going to therapy. In fact, I asked him to go to counseling. He agreed, but then I even got a book so we could work through it at home, and just from somebody that has already gotten free of that addiction and helps other people. And he kind of started in reading one chapter and then backed out and just hasn't touched it again.
That's probably what I'm picking up on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering, if you see that it will stop or not, and if we have a future, if you see it will.
Well,
I'll be able to trust him.
What does he go to? What does he go to? Strip bars or massage parlors?
Local places. Yeah.
Well, he's got, I mean, it's got to be addressed. For the sake of your own peace of mind, Cindy, you don't need to have that kind, if this bothers you, you don't need to have that kind of controversy in your life until he makes a commitment to address it and confront it and figure out, you know, how he can remove this type of behavior. This is, you know, sexual addiction is a strong one to get away from.
Well, he claims he stops, but he always says that, and I've caught him several times since he claimed he stopped. So then he just gets mad when he gets caught. So.
What do you mean you're caught? You caught him on the internet with porn?
Well,
what did you catch?
I don't want to go into a lot of detail on the radio, but yeah, I've got.
All right.
Okay, we still doing it, and then he admitted to it, and then he denied it later and said, "Well, I've stopped now." So,
well, you know, I mean, he can't. He wants what he wants. He wants you, and he wants his cake and eat it too. He wants both things, and I think one is a sickness, and the other one is a healthy desire. So it's got to be addressed, and, you know, it's no point in you entering a relationship that's filled with lies and secrecy and, you know, unless that's what you want. But I don't think that would be healthy. I have a feeling that there's a connection between the two of you, but the man needs an active, he needs help, and hopefully if you love him enough, you can be involved in that process with a therapist, if this is the journey you want to go on with them. But, you know, I mean, I see that the two of you, there's a strong connection between the two of you. But, again, nothing's set in stone here, Cindy. You have a strong connection with them. And, you know, I don't know what to tell you, aside from a deeper kind of reading, but I don't know if that's answered your question or not. There's certainly some validation there, but whether it ultimately answers what you're supposed to do, I can't answer that over the radio.
Well, what I was wondering is if you see that he has quit or can quit, or has he already stopped? You know,
I wouldn't trust that he stopped. I think, you know, you need to investigate this further. And that's a hard one. You know, he could stop, but the idea, if he's addicted to if he has a sexual addiction, it's hard to just stop that. It's a very difficult addiction to stop. And just because he said he stopped doesn't mean that it couldn't start again 2 years from now. You got to get I don't know the extent of how deeply you've talked to him about this. So what, you know, we don't have the freedom to talk in depth on the radio. But if you want my immediate response, I would be very cautious right now. If you're asking me psychically, do you think he stopped and it's safe for me to go ahead, I would say no. But I would say that there's enough energy going out between the two of you that you don't necessarily have to abandon the relationship, but you do definitely need to look into it deeper.
Okay. Well, okay. If you would like further conversation, Cindy, with Neil, 562-596-7818 is
right,
the phone number
you.
To call, but hopefully that's helpful to you. And Cindy
thank
can
you.
Follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You're welcome, Cindy. And she can join us on Facebook, on Twitter. And Neil, we have some more time to talk if you'd like to talk.
Oh, we don't have a caller right
we
now?
We don't have a caller right now. No, we don't.
More
than we can handle on Monday, less than we need on Wednesday.
Did we
okay.
have a lot on Monday?
Lots, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people we didn't get to, but, you know, that's how it works sometimes.
Well, you know, we were talking about what's coming up and how we can actually see the its future in some of these events. To me, an event the size of a 9/11 that I saw years in advance, mm-hmm. What can a person like me do? There's not much I can do about it. And I don't have, you know, I'm not in with the CIA. I don't have anything like that. I don't have any link. So
you mean in terms of like, yeah, you're not being fed information by any government organization, agency.
And so, I know people in the government,
right.
And I've done readings and stuff
right.
like that. But you know, this is a whole different case.
Something so. I just want to read a little excerpt from the section that I posted because, you know, this is what it says in regard to the Parisian night spot in your book. Rumor had it Fife was pursuing a jet-swinging spy through Parisian night spots, but still he was nowhere to be found. A hot tip took me deep into the shadows of Manhattan skyscrapers, but a false letter had led me on a futile chase. So I think that's very interesting. Also, I think it's interesting that you didn't say, you know, a Muslim extremist was found in a Parisian night spot.
Yeah.
It's a spy that was found in a night spot. So I don't know. You know, I'll leave that to people to, you know, interpret on their own.
Yeah, I think that the heading of that section is called what?
The Shadows of Manhattan Skyscrapers. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Excellent.
That was written before the event. But, well, you know, when we get into the vibrational frequency of these events years before they occur, and we start to talk about it, and because they do leave a vibrational imprint on us psychics, and even though they may be disturbing, I think, you know, I mean, the best I could do at the moment was to kind of write a book about it.
Kind of write a book about it.
Yeah.
Not totally, but sort of.
But do we have another caller?
We do have a caller.
Okay,
so, we'll talk to the caller before we talk about other things. Who's this? Caller, are you there?
Hi, I was just listening.
Oh, you just want to listen?
Hi.
Okay.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, well...
we have a listener, not a caller, I guess.
That's fine.
Go ahead, Neil. We were talking about the vibrational imprints that a psychic gets.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is that since this is going to go into archives, there is a way for anyone to tap into the future. You can actually motivate, if you will, your third eye and, believe it or not, be able to look into the future. And there's a way to do that because you have to kind of probe your higher self, and that's easier said than done. But in terms of those of you who are aware of your third eye and to know that your third eye is a kind of personal vibrational radar that can pick up energy, And so when you're asleep at night, this is one of the best times to tap into the astral realm and to start to see the visions of what may be occurring. Now, some of these visions we won't be able to change. You'll be seeing it like a movie. It's like watching a movie, and you may be sitting in your seat, and you want to change the plot, but the movie's already been filmed, and you're just watching it unfold. But looking at the future is very much like that. And I'm sure it was like that for Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus and St. John, that when you look at the future, sometimes you can't see it because it's like you're viewing a movie and you're just sitting there passively, if you will, watching one point leading to another point and then events unfolding. If we go into a specific time zone, I've often said on this radio show and other radio shows that I've been on that the events were going to get really tough
In 2015.
Mm-hmm. And I said this years prior, I've been saying this for probably 15 years at least, that I was talking about events occurring in 2015, 2016, where it started to get really messy. I think if we look at the year 2018, as far as our country is concerned, the view that I see isn't that pleasant. We're not living in a we may call it the land of the free, but it's the land of surveillance. It's the land of tension. We're going to be somewhat controlled more and more by the government. I think that it will be put under the basis that it's for our own good.
Well,
and
of course,
for the good of all. And I think that there's got to be rules and regulations set for what may be occurring. But there's going to be more conditions set upon public places, and we're not going to have the freedom that we had before.
Right, but this is, you know, I mean, the events that are occurring around the world are a part of gaining control of the populace. I mean, that's kind of the purpose of a lot of these events, I think, aside from financial gain in some cases.
Well, it's not only that, but we're dealing with that naughty word, Armageddon. We're dealing with that world of
right. There's a higher reason for what's going on. I mean, there's a higher reason and a destiny that our planet has, of course. But I'm just talking, you know, about
and our
mundane reason.
Yes. And the scope of our world, the world hasn't changed. It's still the mileage between one part of the world and the other hasn't changed. But the communication system, the availability of instant knowledge has changed. And when we get into cyberspace and we deal with how people thousands and thousands and thousands of miles away can affect our banking system, our marketing system, even our power system, then we're getting into the idea that the world is just but a button away, a touch of a button, a code. Any of these things can now affect us. And I think we're getting into that world that as technology advances, so will our moments of stress and credible fear, not irrational fear.
Can we talk a little bit, Neil, before we close the show, about the month of November and the implications of the number 11 and in this event and other events? Because 9/11, of course, is 11.
Well, yeah, 11. I mean, 11 is an odd number. I didn't wake up one day and decide that 11 was a bad number. And I think that 11 does hold some spiritual significance because that, after all, it is an 11. It's kind of shy of a, well, obviously it's shy of a 12.
Kind of shy. It's like kind of how you kind of wrote a book. It's kind of shy of a 12, sort of.
Well, what I mean by that is that 12 is a unit. It's a completion unit. And we know how 12 is significant in our literature, in our
religious history,
in our months, time, duration, things like that. 11, the 11th hour is one part of the negative connotation that occurs. And when we get into, well, the idea that Judas is the 11th, the idea that 11 energy, I was informed of 11 being a dark number by spirits and guides. They actually talked to me about that number, so I became more aware of it.
More aware of it because of your communication.
Of that aspect. Even
beings.
Though, like I said, it does hold a certain sacred energy. But if you look...
Sacred? I mean...
Well, 11 is, in numerology, 11 is a 2. And the 2 is connected to male-female. It's connected to duality. And it's connected to the idea that there is a world of opposites. So it gets into a deeper concept of good and evil. And that good and evil are almost... They almost rule each other out. There's as much as there is good in the world, there is evil. So it becomes a battleground. And I think that's where the force is. There has to be a scale that something tips the scale. And we can say, is it Satan? Is it God? Is it humanity or is it inhumanity that finally is victorious? And this is in terms of definition as to our general concept of what is humane and what is inhumane. Or what is sacred and what is evil. But when we get into those aspects, you know, we're in charge of this planet, aside from the fact that there's some destiny factor, I ascribe to the idea that there is a coded energy in our world, and that coded energy is being worked out. And my knowledge is connected to the conversations I've had with a speech impediment to spirits and guides and things like that, which have forewarned me that these things are going to be coming up and there's not much we can do about it. But I think that aside from that, I think that there is still an element in our world where we can perhaps alter
history.
Maybe.
Future history, I should say.
Yeah. You know, the dates of the Earth, the dates of the end of the planet and all this dramatic, it keeps getting prolonged. They keep extending it and all these alarmists who say that the end of the world is coming, no one's been right so far. And I don't think the world just disrupts. I don't think that's what's going to happen. Even in my book, it's a slow process. It's not just a great
explosion and everything's gone. No.
But I think that as we lead into this coming century, and we get into even before 2020, I think we're going to be looking at some very harsh, dramatic changes on our planet that are not going to be going away. So it's time to start to be concerned, to brace ourselves, not to look at the other side of the planet as something remote from us. I think it's going to be coming into our very backyards, and it's going to affect all of us in the long run. Every single person in the United States will be affected by this.
Well, it's scary, and I think probably at our next show we'll do something lighter. We're going to talk about animal communication, and I think maybe... mapping karma in a birth date we're going to talk about as well next week, Neil. But I think for now we'll close since we don't have any more callers, but we appreciate those who joined us today and listened, and we will be back on the air on Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.